Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more.
You know, we were all created for relationship. There's no question. We were made for relationship. This little girl comes out of the womb, and she hasn't known anything except the cramped quarters of the womb. But now there's conversation with her mama and her daddy and her little dog. And you know, when words are spoken to a child, they see the lips moving, they hear the sound, and they start to move their lips and make their sounds, and it doesn't sound like anything, but there's relationship, and she is flourishing just with the slightest bit of contact. And to me, that speaks to me about us. The kind of dynamic contact we have to have with one another, face to face, and in each other's, you know, business. And brothers stumble, brothers fall, sisters do too, because we don't stay connected to one another, and we don't allow that voice that speaks into our life that has said all the things we've been hearing today. So there's three levels of relationship we all need, and you're all a part of a congregation right now. But aside from the congregation is the community. And that's where we start to do something in that congregation together. We put our hearts and our hands to the work, to the plows, and we get something done together. But inside of that community that's within that congregation are these cohorts. They don't need to be called cohorts, but they're supportive bands of brothers or sisters or couples that just help each other keep on track and keep growing. But Tommy Cota has become a good friend of mine over the last, I think it's been about 6 years or so that we've really gotten to know each other. And some of you saw the neighborhood that his life was one of the featured lives in that, the redeemed life. And he pastors Hope Alive over in Santa Ana. And you can hear him on K-Wave tonight at 5 p.m. tonight. So, and one last thing I want to say. John, is it? And Alec? Is it John? John and Alec, guys, stand up. Did anybody come from further away than San Diego to come to this today? I think they deserve a round of applause. And your trophy is to take this bucket of busted shells home with you and spread them around. So let's welcome Tommy Cota. He's going to wrap us up as Tommy. Wait a minute. Tommy's going to talk about looking for the lost. A lot of people have been missing from our congregations. And some are slow to come back for different reasons that you heard about earlier. But he's going to talk about the mission we're still on. The mission hasn't changed. Tommy.
All right. Thank you, Pastor Bill. All right. Let me just get this all situated for me. Can you all hear me now? Yeah. We're good? All right. Well, praise the Lord. You know, again, I'm just very blessed. I share with Pastor Bill. You know, over the past several years now, at least maybe 3 or 4 years consecutively, there's been a men's conference here, and just to be a part of it, I know our guys, you know, love it, and it's just really cool to see, you know, just men coming together, desiring to be filled with the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and I think the highlight really is for me is the fellowship. You know, the conversations, the faces we see, knowing that, hey, man, all right, there's other brothers out there that kind of want the same thing that I do, you know, just to be built up in the Word of God. And this is something that's so important that we all need to just to stay connected to, not just to the Lord, which is number one, but connected to one another, you know. And so just this whole theme of us just kind of fighting the good fight of faith, you know, going out and, you know, just being brothers. You know, this is what we need, and the world needs to see the unity of Christ and the unity of the church and the power that comes with that. Amen? And so, Father God, I pray right now as we just have this time together, Lord, as we continue just seeking you and seeking your word and truth. Lord, help us to consider all that we've heard today, Lord, that you would minister to us, Lord. I pray that we would worship you with our minds right now, Lord, as we continue this this journey in the scriptures, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, well, the title of the message here is Be on the Lookout. Be on the lookout, and if you would, turn to Galatians in chapter number 6. verse number one, and we're going to be kind of going some different places. We're going to be looking at Genesis as well. And, you know, you guys ever, you know, when you're looking for something that you've lost, does it freak you guys out like it does me? You know, it's just like, and my wife already knows the look that's on my face, you know. She's like, what'd you lose? I'm like, I don't know. It's around here somewhere. My keys, my sunglasses, this or that, my wallet. You know, a few weeks back, actually probably longer than that, maybe about five weeks ago, my wife was visiting some family, and so I was like, you know, I'm going to get some things done today. You know, I had my little agenda, just go wash the car, go do some things. And so I go to fill up the gas, you know, in the car, go to our storage. So I go to the gas station, and the thing wasn't working outside. And so I had to go inside the cashier. So I walked in, I paid, and there was a homeless person kind of just going bananas, going berserk, you know, outside of this gas station. So my attention was drawn to her, right? Well, I go, I pump gas and everything, and I go and do my thing, and an hour goes by. Oh, yeah, I was going to get my hair cut, too. So I'm actually going to go and getting out the car to get my hair cut, and I go and get my wallet. It's like, oh, man, I know I have my wallet. I just paid for gas. You know, where's my wallet? Man, lost my wallet, right? I go back to this gas station over here in Santa Ana, you know, and there's like about, not only is there gas pumps, there's about 30 homeless people there too. You know what I mean? Just asking for money and all this other stuff. And so I'm like freaking out, you know, man, someone's got my wallet. And so I go and I was looking all over I tore my car apart, you know, just searching and looking. And I was going to go to the bank and cancel all of our, you know, my credit cards, all that stuff. And as right before I call, I said, I'm going to check. Maybe someone has connected with me on Facebook or something like that. You know, so I checked my messengers. Sure enough, someone said, hey, I found your wallet. That's what I saw. I was like, oh, thank you, gee. I almost started crying. Thank you, Lord. You know, because it's a hassle to cancel all that stuff. You know, anyways, man, the feeling, you know, that I had is like, oh. I was like, oh, this peace just runs over me. It's like, oh, it's all good. This is a young guy. He says, I got everything. Just meet me at the gas station. And man, I go, I was happy, man. I was just taking pictures with him and everything. You know, okay, can I fill up your gas tank? He's like, I already got gas, you know. Anyways, but, you know, so I share that because this emotion of finding something that you've lost, like relief. You know, and this is, again, so this is what I want to talk about here of being on the lookout, because when we're lost something, we're on the lookout for that. You know, we're searching whatever it is. We're looking for, if it's our keys, anything that looks like a key, that's our key. You know, your phone, whatever. You know, it's just like we really want to be on the lookout and really the lookout for the lost. And there's a purpose, being on the lookout for the lost to restore them back to faith. And I think this is something, you know, that really can resonate with all of our hearts, guys, just for the fact of what we've been going through, you know, in this past season of our lives, you know, the past, you know, almost 2 years now of going through just this COVID season and, you know, churches shutting down, and we're coming back to fellowship months ago, and we're like, hey, where's brother? Where's this bro? Where's this guy? Where's this family at? You know, it's like no one can find them. We don't know what they're up to. And listen to this. If you're able to take note, write this down. Restoring a person back to the fold of Jesus is an important spiritual work. Restoring a person back to the fold of Jesus is an important spiritual work. It's like superhero stuff for the kingdom of God, man. It really is. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 1, this is what it says. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. A needed work for the kingdom is going after and seeking to restore a brother or sister back to faith, back to Christ, who's drifted into sin. This is a needed work for those who are spiritual. I'm going to talk about that in just a second. One of the reasons why it's like sometimes difficult for people to want to do that. Maybe I'm thinking maybe in our culture, you know, we don't want to kind of go out and do this. What are some of the reasons why this doesn't happen as often maybe as it should? Maybe in your context it does because God has given you a heart, so you're constantly calling guys. That's a good thing. I think, you know, with us in our small group of men at our church, you know, a lot of times we'll start talking and hey, well, I reached out to this brother. I haven't seen him in 3 months, but I called him yesterday, you know, or, you know, we're kind of reaching out as much as we possibly can. And this is something that is necessary for us to do. Well, I think one of the things that keeps us from doing that is, well, number one is like, we don't like confrontation. You know, if I call a brother, man, I just don't want to deal with it. He's going to get all mad. I want to steer away from confrontation. I just want things to always be nice. Listen, who doesn't want things to always be nice? There's going to be times, there are times in our lives where, you know, we have to say the hard things. You know, the hard things that to say is, for, you know, especially when it comes to truth, it's hard. It ain't easy, right? But it's hard oftentimes because it's the right. You know, I always say this, the right thing to do sometimes is always the hardest thing to do. And this is the right thing to do is for us to go and reach out and go and search. Another thing that keeps us from that is the things we might say, well, who am I to judge? You know, who am I to judge? That's their business, you know. I'm gonna stay out of their business. I'm just going to mind my own business. Or some might even say, well, that's not even my job, though. My job is not to go and restore people and you know, that are caught in trans. That's the job of the pastor. You know, doesn't he get paid? You know, that's what he's supposed to do. Or spiritual leaders, that's their job. It's not my job. And some might even say, well, doesn't God know already? And God will do it. So I'll just let God do it. I'm just going to, you know, just say, man, have your way. You know, and God's gonna do it. And yes, God does do things. But you know what? God uses us. Guys, God uses the church. God uses us as brothers to connect with others, to have a concern for one another. And I think, you know, as we look at this verse, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore. I'm reading from the ESV translation as well. So just to keep you up on that. And again, we look for things. We often look for things, you know, that are lost, that really have no eternal value. You know, we don't have a problem doing that. But when it comes to brothers and sisters, and this is something we kind of, sometimes it's easy to veer away from. I admit, it isn't easy to always do. Because it is, you know, you're touching areas of people's lives where, you know, they can snap back. But we're called to do these things. We're called to restore. It isn't easy, but it's necessary. It is necessary and important for the spiritual health of the church and us as men of God. This is something, you know, that we should see as you know, I'm always going to be on the lookout for those that are drifting away, for those that might be lost, for those that are just drifted into their sin. Or they're saying, man, I'm just kind of taking a break from church. How do you take a break from church? I've heard people say that. I'm taking a break from church. You don't take a break from church. You know, that's just not how it works. Because being a Christian is not, you know, again, it's not something that we punch in and punch out. It's who we are. Amen? This is like, you know, it's my lifestyle. This is how I choose to live my life now. A faithful task and greatest thing we can do to reflect our Lord Jesus is to love the lost so much to be on the constant lookout for those that are lost. I know that many of us are familiar either with when Jesus there in the Gospel of Luke in chapter number 15, I'm going to read it real quick. And he shares this parable of the lost sheep. This is a great parable. And it's in chapter number 15. And this is what it says. I'll start right there at verse number 3. And it says this. It says, so he told them this parable. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? I like that part. Circle that part in your Bible. Doesn't he goes after it until he finds. That means he's not going to stop, right? The shepherd ain't going to stop. He's going to keep on going. We're just on the constant lookout until he finds it. Verse 5, and when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Just so, Jesus goes on to say, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. This shepherd here in this parable, Jesus says, goes out and looks until it is found, doesn't stop. When one repents, I love that, all rejoice, all of heaven. And what is required of you? What is it required of us, guys, for us to be on the lookout to restore a brother? Or even a sister in the right context, right? What's required of us? So how do I do this? Faith that is, it requires a faith that is bold and humble. It requires a faith that is bold and humble. And to illustrate this, I want to ask you to turn to the book of Genesis, if you will. Genesis in chapter number 14. Now, a reminder, just there in Galatians, remember Paul says, you who are spiritual. Now, what does that mean to be spiritual? It doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect. This is a person who has a tender heart, a person who is filled with the Spirit and walking in the Spirit, as he goes on also to explain in chapter number 5. Paul does, and he says in chapter number 5 of Galatians, you don't need to turn there, I'm just going to say this. He says, now the works of the flesh are evident. Excuse me, verse 16. But I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And he says in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. So those of us who are spiritual, right? It means, that doesn't mean perfect, but it means, man, we're desiring the things of God. And so for us to have this bold and humble kind of presentation or what we need, what is required is this boldness, spiritual boldness and spiritual humility. In Genesis, in chapter number 13 and 14, really exemplify this or illustrates this perfectly. Now, I'm not going to read all of chapter number 13 and chapter number 14. We're going to look at a few verses here. But this is when Abram and Lot, who was his nephew, they're there. Abram says, okay, well, Lot, why don't you choose? You choose where you want to go, and maybe you know the story. And Lot says, man, I'm going to go down here, right? And the place where it was like, man, it seems like it was happening. You know, there was a lot of probably commerce going on and things. It was lively, right? This area of Sodom. And so that's where he goes, and he pitches his tent towards that place. And we see this bold faith of Abraham, because what ends up happening, guys, is that there was a time of war took place. And so now this area, right, of Sodom is taken captive. And along with this area, also Lot was taken captive and all of his belongings. And see, Lot's whole thing was he wanted to go. He drifted away. He went towards the things that was shiny to him. Notice there it says, Lot, in verse number 13 and verse number 11, it says, so Lot chose for himself all the Jordan Valley, and Lot journeyed east. Thus they separated from each other there. And in verse number 10, there towards the end, it says, and Lot lifted up his eyes and saw that the Jordan Valley was well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. You see, so Lot here, he was drifting away, and his whole thing was like, man, this reminds me of Egypt, like the land of Egypt. And we know that the Bible, when Egypt is an illustration of the world, And this is where he drifted towards. His eyes were fixed on this, and this is where he found, like, man, I want to be in this area right here. And so, again, they get in captive, right? And Lot is captive, and all of his belongings are taken. And when Abram heard that his nephew was taken captive, he went into the war zone for Lot. So listen, guys, number one, a bold faith is a faith that is willing to go to battle. A bold faith is a faith that is willing to go to battle to restore. And this is what Abram did. He could have said, you know what? That's Lot's issue. That's his problem. He made his bed. He's got to, you know, sleep in it now, right? He's got to deal with it. He's got to figure it out on his own. I got my own things here going on. Abram didn't do that. He went into that battle zone. He was willing to go into the battle zone. Guys, let me ask you this question. Are you willing to go into the battle zone to restore your brother back into the fold, back to Christ? Are you willing to get maybe nicked up? Are you willing to have a hard conversation with someone saying, hey, man, where are you at? Where have you been? What's going on? And you can even use their social media against them. I see what you're doing last night. You know what I mean? With people put up on social media, right? It's like, guys, I've seen it, man. There's families that I know, you know, and I love them to death. And you know, we haven't seen them for months, but I see them on their social media, you know, and they got their modelos right there. What's up? You know, you know? And they're having getting their party on and all that stuff. And you know what? For me, honestly, as a pastor, I was like, oh, man. Breaks my heart because I know that months prior to that or years prior to that, they shared with me what the Lord delivered them from. And now here they are. They're going back to what? To the world, right? They're going back to those things. And so when he heard that his nephew was taken captive, you see here, he was willing to go into the battle zone. Look at Genesis chapter 14. Look at verse 14 and 15 with me. It says, when Abram heard that his kinsmen had been taken captive, he led forth his trained men born in his house, 318 of them, and went in pursuit as far as Dan, and he divided his forces against them by night, he and his servants, and defeated them and pursued them to Haba, north of Damascus. See, here Abram was willing to go into battle. A prepared faith is willing to go into battle. A bold faith is also a prepared faith. So a bold faith is willing to go into the battle, and a bold faith is also a prepared faith. His men, they were trained up. We see that right there in that verse number 14. He took his men, he led his men and trained men. So they were prepared. He was prepared. Not only were they prepared, but there was a strategy that Abram had. He wanted to divide his troops up, not just put everyone here. There was a strategy. There was some thoughtfulness behind it. And I think this is so good for us. Like, we need to be prepared too. We just don't go, hey, man, that dude's over there smoking a joint. Let's go jump him, you know. Well, we don't jump him no more, right? Let's go jump him with Bible thump him. No, we don't do that. What's that really going to do, guys? You know, some of you probably have experienced something like that before in your life when you've made some mistakes or you made some bad decisions and then someone comes up and say, man, let me, you're sinning, and they kind of just Bible thump you. You know, let me tell you something. This happened to me before and I didn't like that person. You know what I mean? But the person is just lovingly wants to come. There's a strategy. They're prepared, right? And there's a strategy of an approach. It's always like, man, this person cares. This person loves. And you know, if there's an ouch moment, there's a moment where like, man, I don't like this, but I know that there's love. It's because of love. Love for me. Love for the church. Love for the body of Christ. Love for God. Love for the kingdom of God. That this person is compelled to want to, you know, hey, put himself in a place where he's willing to go into battle, but there's a plan. There's strategy. They are prepared. Friends, it is so important that you and I, that we stay prepared as well. How is it that we stay prepared? Well, it starts out with our training in prayer and being fed the Word of God. In our training in prayer and being fed the Word of God. I know from, I'm going to speak for myself, and I know for, there's probably many of you are going to agree with me, that I am a product of prayer. People were praying for me, for my life to be delivered from the grip of Satan. How many of you have that same kind of a testimony where someone was praying for you? You see, we have that. And so prayer is so important. It is so key. It is so essential, not just for our own personal growth and our own personal walk with God, but as we begin to intercede for others, we begin to have a heart for the lost, for those that are drifting away, and not to condemn them, not to clown on them. Like what Pastor Bill was sharing a little while ago, you know, we don't want to put them down. We want to love them. We want to love them because love covers a multitude of sins, the Bible says. You know, love, with that, the idea of that is like love is not going to bring up your dirt. You already know your dirt, right? If you don't know your dirt, man, I don't know, drink some more coffee or something, you know? We already know what's going on. But love covers a multitude of sins. In other words, we want to go out despite what's going on in that person's life. We want to pray for them. So it starts off with our prayer and being fed the Word of God. The Word of God is so powerful, guys. And I think the more that we're in the Word of God, you know, it's been so, this whole summer, man, it's been amazing because our church, we've been taking this journey, myself, Pastor Gabriel, and Pastor George, we've been kind of doing this rotation on our Sunday mornings and throughout the week of just, you know, devotionally going through the book of Psalms and bringing some practical application of prayer and worship and applying that. How do we apply this to our own personal lives? And it's so rich because for me in my personal time, I started doing this months ago, you know, just going through Psalms and it's just been so amazing how the Word of God, you know, especially going through the Psalms, I'll read a Psalm like, man, that's what I'm feeling right now. You ever feel down? You ever feel depressed? You ever feel going through some stuff? You go through the book of Psalms and you'll find that you're not alone, man. And God's Word just meets you in that place and it's so rich and you feel, you know, for me personally, I'm just like, oh man, why am I tripping? It's all good. You know, God's got my back. It's going to be good. Well, the richness of the Word of God is what's so essential in our preparation, guys, because listen, Christianity is, it ain't easy, man, right? It ain't easy. It's a difficult thing. It's a constant battle, right? We read this in the Bible, in the New Testament, Paul says, you know, fight the good fight of faith. So it's a battle. It's a battle. And in a battle, in a war zone, we have to have each other's backs. In a war zone, you know, one guy starts drifting off, you know, out there in Afghanistan or something like that. You know, you who are trained up and prepared in the military sense, you're going to go get that person who's drifted away and you're going to drag them back. You know, even you got to grab them by the collar, right? You're going to drag them back and put them down in the foxhole and, you know, hey, what are you doing, knucklehead, you know? But when it comes to spiritual things, when it comes to our spiritual Christianity, you know, sometimes that's their issue. You know, I'll stay out of their business. We have to be willing to go and battle, and we have to be prepared with prayer and also the Word of God, being fed the Word of God. Our strategy is developed in our connection with one another. Again, just thinking here in this narrative of Abram and Lot, and Lot is taken captive, and you know, and Abram hears about it. There's this strategy. He just didn't initially go. He says, man, I'm going to get my trained men who are trained, ready, right? And we're going to have the strategy. We're going to divide it up to go and conquer, to go and deal with all this, because my nephew's out there, someone I love and someone I care about. You know, and so this is what he does. And guys, for us, our strategy, I believe, is developed in our connection with one another in times like this. Pastor Bill just got done talking about like it wasn't another small group, you said, but it was something different, more of a cohort. There it is, a cohort. You know, just a connection. It's a connection of men. connecting with one another. And I know that when I get together with guys from our church and we're just connecting, you know, all of a sudden there's like this strategy that we kind of start talking about of how we can better make an impact in the city of Santa Ana. How can we do what we're doing with the gospel and advance the kingdom of God better than what we did yesterday? You know, and so we start having this discussion, you know, and it's just a free discussion, but it happens with our bond and our connection with one another. It's so important that we do that. We stay prepared, guys, by walking in the Spirit. By walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit gives you Holy Spirit boldness. Walking in the Spirit, not walking in the flesh, but walking in the Spirit. Seeking after the things of God. And so it requires, guys, number one, it requires a bold faith. But also it requires a humble faith as well. You know, this is a crazy dichotomy, right? A dichotomy is like the boldness and humility. You know, it's like, hey, dude, you got to choose one. You're going to be bold or humble, man. Because, you know, in the eyes of the world, you can't be both. But I think in the biblical life, in the Christian life, you can be both. You know, that you can be both. And that's where this spirit of gentleness comes in. And, you know, and this humility, spirit of gentleness, this is a faith that is God honoring as well. And we see this also with Abram towards the end of this narrative, after there's this rescue there and chapter number 14, you know, Abram, he has an opportunity to take all of the possessions. Here, man, have it all. You know, hey, Abram, you came and you earned it, man. But Abram's like, I don't want any of that. You keep it. I don't want any of those things. Listen to what he says here. It says there in verse number 24, I will take nothing. Chapter 14, Genesis, verse 24, Abram says, I will take nothing but what the young men have eaten and the share of the men who went with me. And so he said, I don't want anything, man. You know, he's not in it for the personal gain or nothing like that. And Abram, he's so humble that what he does is he wants to honor God. And we see this right after that he gives to God. In verse number 20, it says, and Abram, there towards the end of verse 20, and Abram gave him a tenth of everything to Melchizedek. We see that in certain verses 18 all the way through 20. Melchizedek blessed Abram, right? And blessed be God the Most High, and he was delivered your enemies into your hand. And Abram, there, his response was to give him a tenth of everything. He honored God by giving and his giving. He didn't rescue because he wanted something, he wanted recognition. He didn't do these things because, well, he wanted personal gain. It was Abram, in a sense, saw this as a spiritual responsibility. He was driven by love. He was driven by concern and love for his nephew Lot. And I think this is the driving force for all of us, at least it ought to be, this driving force of love, wanting to go out and to search for the lost, to be on the lookout. What are you looking for? I'm looking for those that are lost. I'm looking for those who have drifted away. You know, they've drifted away from the fold of God. And then God wants to use me. God wants to use you, and he wants to use us to be those voices, to reel them back into the fold of God, to love them back into the fold of God. Guys, there's so much there in Genesis. And Genesis chapter, in that chapter 13 and 14, and this is such a great illustration, I believe, of back to Galatians, a great illustration of Galatians chapter 6 there verse number 1. It also reveals the heart of God, the heart of Jesus in this. Turn with me, if you will, to the Gospel of Matthew. Gospel of Matthew in chapter number 9. Starting at verse number 35. Many of you are familiar with this. heart of Jesus in this. It says this in verse 35, "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd." In other words, they were lost. They were drifting away. "Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest.'" Here it says that Jesus had compassion. This driving force for us to go and to look for those that are lost, to be on the lookout, is having this same kind of compassion. This word compassion has the idea of his heart being crushed, like his bowels. The idea of it is like, you know, just moving your guts. You ever feel that feeling that something just moves your guts so hard? That's the idea. This is the kind of compassion that Jesus had, and this is what, you know, what ought to be driving us as well, to be on the lookout, to have this compassion. And what crushed his heart was that he saw the lost. Sheep, they're like sheep without a shepherd. They're scattered. They're drifting away. They're being devoured. I think it was Chet this morning that was talking about, you know, how the lion, you know, goes after that little gazelle, little baby gazelle that's drifting away, away from the fold. And that's exactly what will happen. As Peter tells us and writes in his epistle that, you know, the enemy is like a lion ready to pounce, ready to devour. And Jesus, seeing sheep, like without a shepherd, they're scattered, they're lost. I love, there's a song that we sing in our Christian churches, "Break My Heart for What Breaks Yours." I don't know the name of that. I don't even know if that's the name of the song, but I know that part of the song. You know, it's like, break, and I remember just when I first heard that song years ago, it's like, man, break my heart for what breaks yours. And guys, it's not hard to understand what breaks God's heart, right? Sin, people in bondage to sin. And here's the thing, we have this message and we hear you who are spiritual. I think this is a word for us that are here in this room that are joining us right now. We who are spiritual, we're desiring to feed our souls with the Word of God. We're taking time out of our Saturday, putting our honeydews on the back burner for a little bit. Amen? Somebody say amen to that, right? Honey, I'll do it next week. Right? But we want to, what we're doing is we want to feed our spiritual souls. You who are spiritual, Galatians says, have these things, you know, may it break our hearts. There are many brothers and sisters, friends, who are lost, who are drifting away. Some of you right here, you know exactly who they are. God is putting them in your brain right now. Maybe it's a brother, it's a sister, a brother-in-law, a family member, someone at work that 2 years ago, they would go to church with you. 2 years ago, you would sit down and pray for lunch or you would have discussions. And now you see that they're out there, they're doing this and you're like, man, I don't know what else to do. You know what I mean? Well, you keep on praying for them. Develop a plan. Right? It has some strategy. And how do we do that? It's through prayer. It's through the Word of God. It's being about being ready in season and out of season to strike right when that iron's hot. You have that moment alone. You know, it's like, man, you know what? Any minute now. I constantly do that in my life. You know, it's like with strangers that I don't even know. It's like, hey, what's up, man? Barbershop, we start talking about Dodgers, start talking about the Lakers, anything. You know, it's all good. I like Dodgers and Lakers, so we'll talk about them. Raiders too, but that's another story. You know, but I try to strike up a conversation so that I'm like, okay, Lord, you know, man, may this kind of journey into a way where, you know, we talk about kingdom things, where I talk about the cross, where I talk about, hey, oh man, I used to do that. Oh, how come you don't drink no more? That's a big conversation. Hey, you want a beer? No, man, I'm cool. I don't drink no more. I haven't drank in a long time. You know, sometimes when you say that, like, oh, you're Mr. Goody Good now, you know, so you got to be careful how you say that. I've learned the hard way, you know, but it's just like, oh, wow, man, that's a long time you haven't drank. How did that happen? So, man, well, Jesus came into my life. And then I say that, they put their beard down. Oh, yeah. go ahead. They don't want to touch their beer now. You know what I mean? They kind of get a little convicted or something. When they do that, I know, like, oh, there's something going on here. They used to go to church, I bet. You ever go to church? Oh, yeah, I used to go to church. Oh, I used to. What happened? You know, we just start striking a conversation up, having a plan, having a purpose, being filled with the Spirit of God, you who are spiritual. Why? Because there's many that are out there, guys, that are lost. And I know that we're thinking of some right now. And I pray that we're not fine with them just living their life, being led astray in darkness, but that it would crush our hearts to the point that we not only stay on the lookout, but be ready to be used as an instrument of God, just as it says back here in Galatians. I should have used my bookmarkers because now I'm fishing back and forth here in Galatians in chapter number 1. You guys are like, oh man, he didn't commit this to memory. I'm sorry, man, my memory's not shot. All right, 6. Okay, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore. There's a word should. He doesn't say, hey, think about restoring. You know, pray about it, think about it if you feel like it. No, you should. You should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. There's that you know, just being humidity. I just came back from Tennessee, and it was very humid over there. Humility, having this humble heart. You do it in a spirit of gentleness and keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. So may these things crush our hearts. May it crush us to move our faith. May it crush you when you just understand, man, what we've been going through in our world, and so many, as a result of it, people who were going to church ain't going to church no more. They've drifted back into their own sinful ways. May it crush us to move us to action. Amen? To move us to action, to be rescuers, to be God's hands and feet. A bold faith, to have a bold faith that is willing to go into the battle with a purpose of rescuing, delivering, being the voice in their life. And a humble faith that will say, you know what, I want to do this for the purpose of honoring God. And we need the Holy Spirit of God to equip us to do that. We need the Holy Spirit of God. So let me pray. Father, God, thank you for drawing us to yourself. Thank you, God, that we can be here together, Lord, in this room, in this place, as men with our hearts in the same place, Lord. We want to build our spiritual life. We want to be used by you. May this not just be another day where we get information in our ears, but Lord, may it be the information that we take in bring on a transformation in our hearts and a motivation to compel us to go out in action, to be on the lookout, to restore a brother, a sister, people that we love and care for, that are entangled in bondage of sin, that have drifted away. God, we ask that you would anoint us with your Holy Spirit, that we would take that action and be doers of your word. Lord, that we would be in some ways even like this illustration there in Genesis of Abram, Lord. He had a plan and he was bold and yet he was also humble. He didn't want any personal recognition. He just wanted to be used by you. And may we have that same kind of heart. We just want to be used by you for the purpose of the advancement of your kingdom, for the sake of strengthening the church. So, Father, fill us now with your Holy Spirit. Guys, if you're here and you're like, you know, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit right now. I need God. I want the anointing of God's Spirit. for whatever's going on in your life, wherever you're at in your walk with God, if you're a brand new believer or a seasoned believer, and you're just like, man, I want the Holy Spirit of God to fill me, right? I want to be in the Spirit. If that's you right now, just stand to your feet. It's in way of acknowledging, I need the Holy Spirit of God. Father, we need the Holy Spirit. We need God, the Holy Spirit in us. Break our hearts for what breaks yours. As you saw, Lord, people, sheep without a shepherd. Father, for those of us that are standing to our feet right now, God, I pray for the anointing of your Holy Spirit. We receive, Lord. You say if you simply ask for the filling of the Holy Spirit, you shall receive. And Lord, we ask in faith. And right now, if you're standing to your feet and you just want God to fill you with the Holy Spirit, just say, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Say it out loud right now. 1, 2, 3. Amen. Father, and we ask this in faith. Fill me with your Spirit. Use me as a man of God. Use us as men of God to be on the lookout, to restore those that have drifted away, that we would be gentle, yet bold at the same time. Father, we love you. We thank you. So God, give us your eyes that we might see. In the name of Jesus. And everybody says, amen, amen. God bless you guys. Thank you, Pastor Bill.
Hey, guys, have a seat for just one more moment. And man, you guys have been fed. And you've been goaded. You've been encouraged to go further and reach farther too, and to stand maybe stronger. How many of us are going home to our wife today, sometime during the day? And whether you go out and grab coffee with a brother for a while and you build your own little cohort of someone that you know that's going to help keep you strong, be diligent about that too. But love that wife that is a daughter of God, that God has trusted you to love, and those kids and those grandkids that that you have. It's one of the sweetest things in life to just continue to pour out what you have into somebody else. And we've used these themes that were pandemic, you know, sound bites about taking off the mask when it comes to who we really are and standing firm, you know, with one another. And I want to use one last little pandemic term. And I pray that the result of this today will be that this will have been a super spreader event. And that the truth that we have heard and the grace that God has touched us with will spread. Because we can't keep it to ourselves. How many of you get a little irritated when you buy some little, I don't know what it is, a can of something, a jar of something that's in your fridge, and then by the time you get to it, it's past the use-by date. And it's just, you got to throw away $12 or $15 of something that, let's not let this sour in us. Let's spread the love of God in a time in our generation where it's absolutely needed. I've heard people say for a year and 3/4 now, can't wait till we get back to normal. Let's get back to normal, ordinary. Let's get back to the way things were. Can I just say, no way. I don't want to get back to the way things were. I don't want to go back to ordinary. I want to go on to extraordinary in Christ with a new focus on why we're alive here. And that has, I hope that has been driven deep into our hearts today, that I showed you the picture. I don't know if I tied this knot tight enough, but I showed you the pictures of my little granddaughter. And you just see how she has come alive. And it's just been that she's been nourished. She's been loved. She's been spoken to. She's been fed. But she's flourished because she's been nourished. And so we need to nourish one another and not give up on that. Continue to love one another, because the world's not going to love us the way that we're to love one another. Amen? Amen? Brothers and sisters in Jesus are directed to do that like Jesus showed us how. And one of the things I think we should be very, very aware of right now Look around. Look around. Let me tell you what you're looking at as you look around. Just look around. You know, lock eyes with somebody for a half a second. I know that's about how long a guy can handle that. But look at a brother. And you know what you've seen as you looked around? You've seen two things. You've seen brothers that are here. And I hope you've recognized you've seen brothers who are not here. There's some who are still not here. And maybe they're staying away because of safety issues. And maybe they're staying away because they're susceptible to COVID. But you need to hunt them down. And they may be doing well. But I'll tell you, your call, your phone call, your FaceTime with that. And if that's as far as they can go right now, don't push them to go further until they're comfortable with that. But get face-to-face, even if it's FaceTime to FaceTime, and love one another and build the body. Go look for those who we haven't seen for a while. And it's not just to get them back in the seats in Refuge or your churches. How many of you are from a different church than Refuge right now? Oh, thank you guys for being here today. This has been wonderful. It's not, yeah. But it's not about getting... You've heard me say this if you've been at Refuge for the last year and a half. It's not about getting people in the seats. It's about getting more of God's people in the streets, out where the broken are, the deeply broken and horrifically lost. And so keep yourself strong. Deal with what you got to deal with. I'm gonna share a song with you. I'm going to do it a cappella because Jesse took his guitar. And it's not done. I don't usually sing a song that I haven't finished, but this one started probably close to 10 months ago on the same beach where I met Patrick. And I was walking one day and it was deep fog and or thick fog and it was flat, you know, low tide, which I loved. And I'd been reading about David in the Psalms. And I'd been reading Psalm 51, his recovery psalm, one of his recovery psalms. And this is a song that came out of that. And so I'm going to cripple through it without a guitar, but listen to it. I can't see through this fog. I can't stand here too long. Just like David on his rooftop, I could so easily fall. And I see the bones down below. From those who never learned to say no. And just like David on his rooftop, I could so easily fall. 'Cause it's on days just like this, the devil rarely misses. Flaming arrows right and left, hide me in the cleft of your rock. I know the wrong from the right. Help me to run for my life. Just like David and Samson, I could so easily fall. I feel this fire in my chest. And with just one more fatal step, just like David, I could so easily fall. Oh, where is my common sense? Abba, run to my defense. Just like David and Samson and Judah, I could easily fall. It's on days just like this that the devil rarely misses. Flaming arrows right and left, God, hide me in the cleft of your rock. I know the wrong from the right. Teach me to stand for my life. So just like David, I will not easily fall. So Father, I pray that as we know we're going to walk out of here into a world that hasn't changed. The world has been converted in the last 6 hours. And it's the same, and it's as tempting, and it's as attractive in many ways as it always has been. But Lord, help us to stand, and help us to stand together, Lord. We can't finish this fight. We can't win this fight alone. But Lord, would you take the broken bits that we are bind us together into a beautiful work of your grace and your power and your spirit, Lord God, and your love and your truth, and put us on display in this world, wherever you want us to be, Lord, to shed your life and your love and your peace and your grace and your hope. In Jesus' strong name, amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing what you know. Here we go. Here we go. You know it. Don't look at me while you're singing it. Turn around and look at some brother and sing it. Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Now sing this word, you know it. Amen. 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 Love you guys. And let's hear it for the food prep people. Let's thank Alan and Jeff and all the speakers, and thank you guys for being here. Now let's go run this race together. God bless you all.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins.